can't make it.
Okay, we are already over time. So I would like to call the December 7th, 2023 meeting of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee to order and ask that the clerk kindly take the vote.
Chair Green?
Present.
Hanson?
Here.
Levine?
Here.
Maloney?
Here.
Stewart? Will be here shortly. Bartels?
Here.
Five, present one.
Thank you. And let's pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic, both standing, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
All right. And we'll start with resolutions and then go to reports. Resolution number 386. This is requesting the Senate and Assembly amend the membership of the UCRA. And I believe that we wanted to refer this to the Reform Committee, the Upper Reform Committee. Was that, is my impression correct?
I don't know if we were gonna send it off as much as there was discussion about possibly waiting and letting it be a recommendation before we act on it. But that's what I recall us discussing. But we have two members here of the commission. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, as a sponsor of the resolution, I think it should wait, and which means that it'll actually functionally be gone because I'm not going to be in the body next year. Someone else would have to introduce it. But that would be only appropriate upon recommendation of the committee or if a member of the body next year feels it appropriate, even despite a recommendation of the committee or separate from recommendation of the committee. I don't think we're ready to act on it right now. I mean, I'm comfortable with it, but I feel like it's part of a comprehensive discussion. So I'm good with waiting.
Would someone like to make make a motion that this we can bring this up as is, and we would have to find a new sponsor, but this be brought up in the next legislature, the next session.
I think it's not appropriate to make a motion on that. Just individually, you can do that. And
if we, let me ask a technical question. If we added the name of a legislator that will be here as a main sponsor, does it just stay? Does it cross the year? Does everything?
We've had such debate about that. We'd almost have to pull in Vicky because this has been a subject of debate over the years. I think technically it's.
Well, we also don't know who's going to be on the committee.
Yes, but as long as you're an active legislator, yeah. We were just saying that it dies and goes nowhere, and then it's a function of reintroducing it with a name of someone that's in the legislature next year. But my question was, if we added a name of someone that will be here next year, does it stay on our agenda? And if the recommendation, this isn't going to be nearly as deep of a dive for this commission. This could be something that comes out of the committee. You guys could kind of recommend it fairly quickly, and then we could carry it fairly quickly, and it would be there.
Joe, do you want the clerk is here.
Vicky, technically, if we added a name of, if we had Eric's name as a main sponsor, does the resolution stay, and we don't act on it today, does it stay and reappear January because there is a current legislator on it as a main sponsor?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. If Eric, as a legislator in 2024, can choose to bring it forward.
And it's written, mm-hmm. So there's not much of a difference.
So it'll be reintroduced, but there's no mechanism to automatically carry forward term to term.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
And before we close this question, I just want to ask, do members want to consider this for the legislature? We still have time to. I think there's a bigger context, but I want to be sure that that's the will of the
I kind of think that we should leave this to the findings of the committee.
I would have thought that as well until I sat through a committee meeting.
I mean, and if ultimately
sounds like me.
And if ultimately, I think if the you know recommendation of the reform committee is for you know for something like this legislation, you know, if they endorse something like this going forward, I don't, you know, personally, I don't think that there would be any issue whatsoever finding a member of the incoming legislature to sponsor this and move it forward. I don't think that would be, you would find a problem of having this move forward. I think there would be willing sponsors.
You can go ahead.
I was just wondering, this is the number, right? It's going to 7?
Yeah, this is,
but then there's also
this has it moving to 9.
This has it at 9.
At 9.
Yeah.
So there's also discussion around supervisors or legislators being on the board. Would that also be a change of the even appointments of the executive, I think, were mentioned? Would that also be something we need to check with New York State on?
Yeah, we would need New York State approval on all those
things. And if we're going to 9, and we are strongly thinking about that, then perhaps we should wait, because that is a little more of an in-depth conversation and they should probably go up together. So the question is...
Yeah, and I put this as talking points. I mean, I put in an actual sitting supervisor being allowed to serve, but not a sitting legislator. But I wasn't wed to either of those ideas. I wanted to have that discussion. What I feel very strongly about, just as an outgoing legislator, but I, you know, we've heard from the RRA board and we've seen the challenges. I think we have to expand the board with stakeholders. There isn't an urgency right this minute because they're not even in session. So it's like, it's better that the commission do its work, that you all consider what you want to do, and that we do it, to your point, that we do it right, that we make decisions and we have real debate, or you all have real debate on those issues, and in the RRA committee we have debate on those issues and make a clear recommendation covering all the things.
So is it better to burn out or fade away? Do we postpone, withdraw, or not act?
I'd say the easiest is not act. Okay. Or I could withdraw fade if away. You want, but I mean, I'd say like not act and just...
I was just going to say that I had an issue with that too, because I noticed that in how it's worded now, it says that no public official, no elected official could serve if on this board.
What do you mean?
It says, with the exception of county legislatures, no public elected official, pursuant to the laws of the state and municipality, blah, 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 may serve as a member of this governing body of the agency during this term.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had an issue with that because I thought we were pretty much in agreement that we needed to include town supervisors.
Yeah, I think that might have been, I don't remember, that could have been an amendment where it got, because it looks like that's bolded.
Yep.
So I don't, again, I think we take no action and get it all debated and sorted and go through, it goes through both the RRA committee and the next EES committee, if it's called EES.
Okay, resolution number 552. Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't know, did we take a vote on approving the minutes?
Not yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, I did skip that. Thank you.
I will make a motion to approve the minutes of the November 2nd, 2023 regular meeting.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. We're taking no action on 386. I'm going to go to resolution number 552, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a memorandum of agreement between the United States Environmental Protection Agency and Ulster County, New York, regarding the Hertel landfill for closure eligible parcel.
No, we're on 552. 561 is, that's the one that we're, that shouldn't be on here. The one right before 552 is where we're at.
Do we also need to vote?
Oh.
Taking no action?
Okay. No.
Great.
We need to vote on what?
No action. But on
486.
Oh, that's right.
No vote. No vote.
All right. Resolution 552. Establishing a policy to replace conventional toilets with composting toilets at county facilities.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second. Well, why don't we hear from the sponsor first?
Well, I was going to just acknowledge that we voted to fund a study to determine how this might work. So it, one could argue that a policy requiring this it would now seem premature. And I'm willing to entertain folks' opinions about that.
Following up on what Legislator Erner said, I agree based on the budget amendment that passed last evening. I think we should wait and see what the findings of that study say before taking further action.
I want to point out that Legislator Erner, as sponsor, will also not be here next session, so it would be a matter of somebody bringing it forward again.
Okay.
And we don't have to vote to take no action unless you want to withdraw it, but it didn't sound like you what you were saying.
I'm happy to withdraw it if that makes things neater. No action seems fine too.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. We are not discussing 561. And now we are moved on to resolution number 702, establishing a restricted capital reserve fund. Decarbonization capital reserve under Section 6B of the New York State General Municipal Law.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion?
This is, the assumption was passed in the budget last night in terms of in terms of compliance with our fund balance policy is the key initiative in Executive Master's budget proposal. Pinders is coming to speak about it, but he's not here. This is a real, it's a true dedicated reserve fund. It's a dedicated reserve fund, so it's not an assignment. And, it's one of two. The other one, I initially put in, it's going through Capital Works and Ways and Means is also going through 18, which is the other 18 million, and that's EOC Capital Reserve Fund. So this is dedicated for decarbonization efforts, something I strongly support, but was in the executive's proposal and assumed in the budget we passed last night. If anyone had any questions,
Tim can probably
respond to
that. So, go ahead,
man. No, you go, and then I think I saw.
You guys go. You go first.
I'm still reading it, but do we define what decarbonization means in here?
The intent is to be those projects that are going to. We do define the answer to the question. And the goal is to replace fossil fuel reliant HVAC and other equipment with energy efficient technologies.
And if I may, just to answer the question as well, I think that when I heard about this as a dedicated fund, I strongly supported it, and I actually had Mana's voice in my ears particularly over these last 4 or 5 years as projects, and I'm going to, you know, I don't mean to pick, but at the jail where replacing a boiler and then replacing another boiler and putting a gas line, every time these things came up, Chair Green would say, why aren't we looking into alternatives? Why are we now putting in new fossil fuel boilers? And it was always that we were too late to the problem and the funding. And now that we're removed, this would remove the funding issue in that this is saying we're dedicated to making those changes. So when those things come up already, we're going to have an environment committee and an executive side of the house that is way looking ahead, so when we're doing those replacements, they're going to be not only contemplated, but using this fund to make sure that we're doing them fossil fuel free.
I just want to say, I think this is a brilliant idea.
It was the executor's idea, but I strongly
So, can you give me a hypothetical of a project?
Yeah, I mean, I could give you that exact example. Like, these boilers are going to need to be replaced in this building, and we won't be looking at fossil fuel boilers.
So
it's going to be more expensive.
So
a couple
of questions. It's going to be a lot of this spending is going to be well over $50,000. Is this? Do we get to approve
every
time any money is removed from there?
Every time.
Is it a $50,000 limit? Can you remove under $50,000 without approval from the legislature?
I don't think this is a dedicated reserve fund. No, legislature has to approve every dollar.
Okay. And is it written into the resolution that it can only be used on county-owned properties? Or are we going to have developers coming to us with beautiful heating systems that are green that we can then somehow?
I don't know. You know what? So I don't have an issue with that, but I would say that I think we can't spend money, just county money directly going to developers, but you're going to have the say as the legislature. Every dollar that comes out of this has to go through the legislature for one. I mean, there's nothing stricter than a true dedicated reserve fund, which we have tax.
It's all ARPA funds. We've been doing that kind of stuff.
But they don't.
Correct?
They're not dedicated.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So it's like this is, to me, this gives the legislature the most control possible. But it's really it's taking away from my perspective, it's taking away the excuse, the financial excuse, which looms large because these projects are expensive.
Would anyone oppose an amendment that was a black and white county-owned properties only?
Where would you want it in a resolve?
In a resolve. Hundred percent of these funds will only be used on and for county-owned property.
Yeah.
And this is spread over 5 years, too.
Can you explain it to the whole committee, whatever's being explained?
Yeah, I was just asking a question if because these are created by state legislation, if there were restrictions on how you enable them. And Ken was just answering that we can only spend the money on things that we have a bondable interest in anyway. So I'm wondering if it isn't just a technical amendment, then, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I'm not sure.
I feel like, you know, the ARPA is a little bit different because you have federal rules that come in and how that's played.
ARPA is a lot different.
We could basically do grants.
Yeah, we could basically do grants.
In this case, like, there's already going to be restrictions for the institution, the state law. Where, you know, it's already going to be lined.
Well, we can't bond without a bondable interest anyway. Like, we can't bond on
something that we're going to
give. I'm just going to use an example, on Silver Gardens.
Yeah.
That's an ARPA project.
Yeah.
We can't do that because we don't have a bondable interest. We'd have to take a bondable interest in Silver Gardens, which would never happen, in order to bond. So I feel like there's already a lot of restrictions, not to mention that the ultimate restriction is that every time you have to approve it, the legislature has to approve it.
Yeah.
So if something somehow came that was outside.
The only scenario I can come up with then is, which has happened, is it's county-owned one day, it's EDA-owned the next, EDA-owned the next, and then the day after that, it's owned by a private entity. So that would be, then the amendment that I'd be looking for would be something to the effect of, how this, these monies, 100% of this can only be used on, for county-owned properties, and they have to remain county-owned properties for what said number of years, and if that isn't the case, then we need to be reimbursed 100% for whatever the amount was by the entity that takes it.
Something like a little bit or something?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that you would, I mean, I think that the time to do that would be at the point of funding if you were suspect. Like, you wouldn't be suspect about this building that came before you, but the, I know what you're talking, the kind of example you're talking about, in which case then I think you would, you're asking basically for a clawback provision, and you could. I mean, to the extent that I've discussed this with the executive, you know, we in Ulster County have very aggressive goals to get to that 70 and 30 in county-owned buildings, 70 by 30 for count. I don't mean small C. Man and I have had this discussion. I mean big C, county-owned buildings. And so I think that there's going to be a, I mean, I don't expect that there's going to be that kind of project coming for you. I think you're going to see things, like I said, like this. We know that this building needs major upgrades, and the easiest, the cheapest is to go with fossil fuels, but this is gonna, this is where we're gonna pull from this to say we're not doing it that way. And I think, oh, we have aging infrastructure that's county infrastructure, and it's gonna, it could be solar.
Yeah.
It could be, it's not, I mean, I'm talking about boilers, but there's other aspects as well.
The only thing I'll say is the intent is here. We all agree that's the intent, but things change, and things happen, and people put things forward, and then all of a sudden we're doing something that wasn't the original intent. And by the time we get to that point, it's always something that sounds nice, and we can't say no, but if we build it into this, then we never even go down that road, and we stay focused on all the big C county infrastructure that we have the way we always should. And I would like to see a well-written legal amendment in there, and I think now's the time to do it, like I said.
Can I ask, just as a, you know, as a sponsor, but also as someone who's vested, because we passed, if this doesn't move this month, we're going to be, like, so way outside of our capital fund, I mean, capital of our reserve fund policy, because we're going to have $18 million that's not assigned, that's not restricted if this doesn't pass. So to do a well-crafted legal and to make sure that we can, with the enabling legislation that allows for these reserve funds, we're not going to get it done right this minute. So can I ask that you don't hold it in this committee?
I won't hold it in this committee, and we can do it in ways and means.
And that in between now and then,
but
we have the conversation about whether or not.
But I hope we get to ways and means, and unless there's a major issue, there's reasonable support for it there.
I'm saying,
yeah.
If we can just between now and then, because I don't, like, I don't know that it's doable. I'm sure something can legally be written, but I don't know how it comports. That's why I was just trying to pull up the state guidance on capital reserve funds. I don't know what limitations you could put on them at the outset, or how binding what you put on them is, because they're created by state structure, right? There,
right.
You know, so, but we have to look into that.
Pretty
and
sure.
Our council has to look into
that.
Yeah. I'm going to go to council, okay. And then to
another question. I just want to read some language which is here, which may begin to address some of these issues, and there may be page 2, and there may be other language that we could easily insert. Under the 5th resolve, it's on page 2. It says, monies in the fund may be appropriated to finance design, construction, reconstruction, or acquisition for the purpose of capital projects that improve energy efficiency in buildings and operations. Now, the 2 points I want, et cetera. The 2 points I want to make is, one, is that language close to tight enough for what Legislator Malone is asking? And two, if we inserted the word county in front of buildings and operations and the word only somewhere in the beginning of that sentence, so that we're only financing energy efficiency, et cetera, in county buildings and operations, is that getting you where you need to go?
No, because it was the question was what happens when it's a county-owned property today, but tomorrow it's with the EDA, and the next day it's with a private entity. And I think, and we all should remember that we will have different executives and different legislators and different appointees, and their intent will be different, and they may have, something may come up, and all of a sudden this happens.
It's at that time. Things can happen in a short time or a long time. In terms of benefiting the environment, that benefit accrues whether we own the building or not. You know, we don't want to be giving funds to private businesses, but in this case, it's really affecting a decision that promotes decarbonization. So I think initially it should only be county facilities, but if that county facility ends up in other hands, I think a clawback is excessive.
Real quick, the problem is, I'll just give you an example. In the minutes to a planning board meeting in Marlborough, or in Highland, the town of Lloyd, a year or almost 2 years before we gave $700,000 in ARPA funds to Silver Gardens, the owner of Silver Gardens was at that planning board meeting talking about the exact germ, but to get through the planning board, he was talking about the geothermal heating system that he was putting in, and then we put it in. Now, that's the point. And that's not okay, because that $700,000 could have went to something that was in the county, and the wealthy person would have put it in with their own money, and they were planning to. But because they were able to get the money, you can't blame them. They're in the private sector, and they're building housing, and they came to us, and we gave it to them. So these scenarios can come up again, and I just think this protects us if we put it in there, and it keeps us focused, and we don't have – now those private sector people that we like that are doing good things, they go and do it themselves.
But I think if we add the proposed amendment that council is suggesting, that would not happen initially. In other words,
no, I'm talking about a clawback, though, into this, where if the property and the property leaves the county within 5 years, that the person that is receiving the property must pay us the upgrades that we put into that property or building. And then guess what? We have the money to go and do it again.
I want to get a quick sense of where we're going with this. I would very much like to pass it with the proposed amendment, but I'd like to hear from the rest of the committee.
I hear the proposed amendment.
Yeah.
The proposed amendment, maybe Dave could help me, would be, and we might even be able to stick it into this resolved,
yeah,
projects that improve energy efficiency in buildings and operations and remain in county.
Where are you?
Or something. Joe's looking more at the time thing. I'll start with mine and we can maybe.
Okay, go ahead, Dave. You're the lawyer.
I had two words I was putting in.
Okay. Where
the word, this is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th resolved on page 2.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the resolved, monies in the fund may be appropriated. The first word in the paragraph following where it says to finance design, mm-hmm, put only in front of 2.
Only to finance.
And secondarily, in the second line, there's a phrase buildings and operations. See that, mm-hmm, towards the end?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Put the word county before buildings and operations.
But that doesn't.
I'm fine with that.
That doesn't get to Joe's temporal problem, but it makes pretty clear.
That, those two words I'm good with.
Yeah, yeah, and that strengthens, if anything, the idea that this is only for county. But then I did want a clawback measure that, and I'd even do 3 years.
Does it make any sense for us to pass this today here, and then in Ways and Means, we'll have a week to draft the clawback, and I can, you know, I just put another resolved in, and we can put that in there.
Yeah.
And to determine if that's allowed. I mean, because there are state, that's what I've been spending time looking at, the examples of, the state gives examples on establishing these funds with specific language. So I'm just not sure that we can then, like, throw in a clawback.
But I can't do this in real time, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't want, that's right, I don't want that to happen either. So, but I'm okay with the only in county.
Essentially, the language will only be us restricting ourselves from getting, from releasing the property. So I'm pretty sure there's probably a legal way.
But it just may be a separate thing that you have to pass. It may be that you can't put it in this, but that you have to create another policy, which is, you know, that's, I'm not saying that's,
no, no, I don't know.
I don't know right now. I can't,
I'm not a lawyer yet, so I don't.
Okay.
All right. Can we? Yes, please.
Is there a time frame to use this funding? And also, where it says Ulster County's adopted fund balance policy requires the unrestricted fund balance within the general fund to be between 15% and 20% of the current general fund operating. Where does this $18 million fall into that?
It brings us closer.
It puts
to
us
that.
Into it, this $18 million, along with the other $18 million, which I proposed for the EOC. I proposed more, but was amended in your committee to reflect what I anticipated for the budget to be. And one other proposal that just moved, which was with related to tax reserve funds, puts us in compliance. Without any one of them, we're out of compliance.
We're way over.
Way out of compliance.
We're way
over. If this doesn't pass, we're $18 million out of compliance. So, yeah.
Thank you, Chair Green. So, recognizing my opportunity to vote on this in the Public Works Committee, I just wanted to say I love the idea of a decarbonization fund, and I still have grave concerns about the definition that we're using for that. I think we need to define what we mean by energy efficiency. From my point of view, having worked in physics, that has a definition in physics, but I want to know if that's what we're using or what we mean by efficient. And I want to know what we mean by clean. Yeah, I certainly understand that if we are consuming less energy with fossil fuel infrastructure, then by definition, by one definition, that could be decarbonizing. But is that what we mean? That might be part of what we mean. I want to understand what the investment is that this would enable, and the specific technologies that are contemplated here, what they would do. Efficient also could be a qualitatively defined industry term, for example, like E-star energy efficient refrigerator, right? But a refrigerator actually, from a physics point of view, is like basically a Rube Goldberg device that consumes all kinds of energy. And but anyway, I believe I've made my point.
Could we move what the amendment that was proposed and then ask that further amendments to address that definition and any other concerns be developed between now and Public Works and Ways and Means?
Just a quick follow-up to Legislator Hansen's, Deputy Chair Hansen's question regarding the timing of this. I don't know, was that answered in terms of what the lifespan of this reserve fund will be? I think Legislator Stewart asked about it as well. 5 years, is that? No, it's not. It's not. So what is there? Do we have a?
It's there.
It's there until you use it.
To be honest, I'd be cautious with a timeline because you don't want to rush it, and then you're just looking to spend it, and you end up buying efficient windows or something in here and there.
I was just wondering if there was.
That's a good question. And then it made me think, and I was like, I don't know if I'd like to see it. I got one quick financial question. Are we going to get interest on, it's a lot of sitting money. We're planning to collect interest.
Yep.
And it goes back into the fund.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the answer.
Can we go ahead and make the only in the county part official?
You want to move the
amendment? I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Where David said only in front of two and county in between in and buildings.
With the capital T.
No, in front of
in between buildings. In and buildings.
Okay.
In front of
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Capital.
That's right.
Capital.
Correct, sorry.
Okay. On the amendment?
Aye.
All in
aye.
Favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. You're an aye.
I'm an aye.
Yeah. Motion carried and on the resolution, and we're again resolution number 702 as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. And let's see, that was 703, authorizing a grant application to the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, NYSERDA, to apply, accept, and administer Climate Justice Fellowship Program Opportunity Notice, yay, and the New York State Clean Energy Internship Program. And authorizing the Ulster County Executive, to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding, Department of Budget.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a pattern going here. discussion? If they want to apply and get money for these projects, I'm in favor. That's my discussion. Okay. Any concerns? Okay. If not, I would like to call the question on resolution number 703. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Resolution 750, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $74,064.11 entered into by the county and by the County Waste and Recycling Department of Public Works.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
And I'll second that.
Okay. Amanda, if you're familiar with this, I have a concern, and this might address it, and that is we're doing single stream recycling, and I want to be sure that any future is that we're collecting material that our resource recovery agency can accept and process, and with single stream, that's not the case. So, just wondering how to proceed, or if you should answer them.
This contract is for a 1-year extension of the existing contract with County Waste. We created County Waste. We currently have a facility where they handle the recycled materials that they collect. It is a single stream facility. So that is what the trucks are set up to collect, and that's what they take it to their own facility. We are looking for to revisit this, and at that time to look at a bunch of different options for us to with dual stream and how to work with Sender in order to do that. One of the challenges right now is that it would require going back out to so discuss that with DPW, and they're aware of the issue of the benefit of a dual stream recycling system. So we will be looking to do that after the contract, if you authorize it.
So this is just basically a stopgap measure until we can find a different vendor.
Yes, so it will go back out to bid, and we will include language in it for fuel standard recycling, and also So we've been brainstorming some different opportunities to get that.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Are we ready to act on this resolution? Okay. On resolution number 750, as just presented, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay. And reports. Department of Environment, and there's a link to the final draft of the Reuse Innovation Center. Any comments on that? My only comment is that, and I raised this before, I just want to be sure that we decide which entities is, whether it's going to be the county directly overseeing this or the UCRA. We don't have to accept the recommendations in the final draft. We can take some time and have some discussion. But that is an issue that seems appropriate to the Ocker Reform Committee, because we have different stakeholders on there. If they are not moving to expedite it, then I think we'll just bring it back to this committee. But I did request that the chair of the UCRA canvass the board. His sense was that they have so much going on that if it's going to get done, it's going to have to go through the county. And Amanda was at that meeting, and you'll be discussing it and then getting feedback back to us. Anything more that you would like to reach for? And then I have the question that I brought up before for you. Okay. Yes, please.
Would anything prohibit us from calling, and the makeup of this committee will obviously be a little different going into next year, but I bet some of us remain. Would anything stop us from having a subcommittee of this to dive in deep? Because what I'm hearing from the RA members and from others is they don't have enough specifics. They're not prepared to take on the brunt of the work to come up with the specifics. They want to be handed the specifics. So I think we need to come up with the specifics. So, and I know you're frustrated with the meeting that just took place, and I didn't even realize how frustrating words you said it, and I'm concerned about that. So I'm trying to find a way to keep this alive and get some more details that I feel like that's what I was hearing. But why don't we plan on calling some special standalone meetings in January. Maybe we could even get together in January. But and dive in and come up with more specifics to present to both the commission and to the board.
Rather than a subcommittee, I would like this to be a special meeting.
Yes, special meeting.
And I'm sorry to ask people to keep coming. Maybe we can also have it be a hybrid.
Yeah.
So
I'm good either way.
I would like to resolve that we have a focused discussion on the Reuse Innovation Center report. That'll give people a chance, and we'll schedule that before we close this meeting.
Yeah, definitely.
But I also, there was a really excellent meeting on of the Lower East Sulphur Watershed Council, is it?
For the stream management plan.
For the stream management plan. And both Eric and I attended that. And one of the questions that came to my mind that I asked Amanda to please address, and some of you may remember the answer, but I don't. One of the issues that came up was who was going to decide when water is released, when water is spilled from the Ashokan Reservoir. Originally, DEC was managing it. Then there was
DEP, right?
DEP.
Yeah. So anyway, I asked Amanda for a quick update on that.
Well, we rejected that ability, right?
There is an internal release protocol where it is DEP in conjunction with DEC, with the state. It is ultimately the reservoir release manager, which is a title held by someone at DEC who makes the call. There's also a standard protocol for releases for low flow, releases when the reservoir is filling up, and releases under different operational conditions. There was, as you remember, a proposal a little more than a year ago that came to the county that would have delegated the decision-making authority of certain types of releases to the county. The legislature, the county executive, pushed back on that. There has not been a formal rescinding of the of that proposal. However, there's been no further action from the state or from the city on. There is in the Shokan working group meeting tomorrow, and I will ask the DEC regulators if we'll ever be getting a formal letter that they weren't proceeding with that plan to delegate that authority to the county.
Which we said we didn't want anyways. Correct. Yeah. I was just going back, I asked about that proposal because I had heard it from some people that are very involved that live along the lower Esopus, and I brought that up early this term, and it was at that point that Dennis explained that yes, these discussions were going on, and I was pretty taken back that it was never mentioned to this committee or any legislator that these conversations were going on between the county and the executive at that point. I think kind of through Dennis was handling these discussions and never talking to, and to me that seems like that bleeds into policy. So then we started discussing it. I've also talked to people, I think Dave would know more, but there are a lot of people out there, some of them pretty educated on it, that don't believe that there's a lot of storm mitigation. They claim that if they didn't do this, that they would basically, we'd be being wiped out at storms. There's a lot of people that think that's not true, and that if we never had any releases and they just let natural overflow go at times, that it would be okay. That at that point, though, they can't get rid of the turbidity, that this is all about turbidity, it's all about getting rid of it, and there's piping that is coming from other reservoirs feeding that turbidity, so other reservoirs don't have to deal with it, but it seems our lower Esopus deals with it all, and I feel like we need to battle a little more, to be honest with you, with the DEP and the DEC, and try to force some kind of a filtration system, which is hugely expensive, and that they don't want to do, because only we are being affected.
If I may, yep. There's a couple of points there that I just want to provide some context to and some updates on. One, it became fairly apparent during this latest proposal where the City of New York was taking out the category of operational releases, where they no longer said that they wanted to release the turbid water for their operational benefit. And it has been confirmed through a series of ARWG meetings and also a meeting with the Commissioner of DEP that their single biggest threat to maintaining their filtration avoidance determination now for the west of Hudson watershed is not sediment and turbidity. It is organics that are entering the water that when they're exposed to chlorine form disinfection byproducts. Disinfection byproducts cause them to exceed the safe drinking water standards, and they cannot be filtered out. So there's not a way to manage that at the end point of use, unlike turbidity, which they can use alum to get out of the water. So because now they're facing these two problems.
But that means they're releasing it into drinking water.
No, actually, maybe I can explain a little further. When Amanda's talking about the organic stuff that's going to cause the THM, the trihalomethane, which is disinfection byproducts, primarily, that's coming from the Delaware system. our system, Eusopus, tends to have less organic stuff, like stuff growing, and more turbidity, partly because we do get from another system, which is the Schoharie.
Yep.
Like if you ever go skiing up at Hunter,
yep, up
and you see the red, the red clay flowing down,
yep, yep,
that's stuff that goes into Schoharie Reservoir. There's a pipe that brings it down to the upper Eusopus, and it goes into the Ashokan. And I think what Amanda's saying is that DEP is now at the point where they're starting to prefer our turbid water to the more organic water with growth in it that's coming out of the Delaware. So they're now being more miserly with the Delaware, and they're using the water in the Ashokan so they don't have to spill it over the dam.
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
Yeah. So big sisters are pivoting on kind of what their concern is regarding the filtration of water determination. The second part you brought up, which is another whole issue, is the role of the reservoir and reservoir operations and attenuation and also stormwater downstream. That's a kind of complicated thing to really shrink down for this meeting, especially when I can't put slides to it. But the quick answer is, even when a reservoir is spilling, it's providing attenuation because instead of a straight channel, now you have a huge lake that's providing lots and lots of surface area that slows water down. Okay, so we will never have on the downstream, even if the reservoir is spilling and a big spill, we're never going to have the flow, the CFS, cubic feet per second at Mount Marion, for example, that you're going to see a Cobra above the reservoir. That said, the single biggest influence in whether we see flooding on the lower Eusopus, again, using the Mount Marion gauge and where the USGS has a gauge there and we have a lot of data, is whether or not the reservoir is spilled. There is a very strong relationship. I'd say I've done the numbers and the regression, the R squared is, in excess of 0.9, which is very tight, very high. We're seeing that, yep, when we spill this much, we flood this much. When we spill this much, we flood this much. And it's a very tight relationship. So that's that part. There's a whole other issue with floodplain mapping and whether or not the floodplain maps represent that risk. And that's a whole other issue.
So are we not seeing any turbidity being released anymore? Or is it just decreased quite a bit?
They did, I want to say 2019 or so, about 3 months, I believe. I'd have to look at my notes. However, what we're seeing now, and it was indicated with this revision, that they were willing to say, nope, it gets to be the county's choice. You can choose whether you fill up and lose some of that attenuation or release the turbid water. There's been a paradigm shift as far as what they're concerned about managing the system for.
Okay.
And what caused that shift? Just out of curiosity.
They're using the water.
Like what made them change their whole outlook?
They had a series of exceedances for safe drinking water.
For THMs? For
yes.
Disinfection byproducts, which
so
is any chlorinate.
And not being
organic water.
So they're taking more of the Ashokan water now, and they're taking the turbidity with it and dealing with it somewhere else, which just goes to show you they could have done this all along.
So what we've never had is a more operationalized low flow and filling reservoir. Sometimes they call it a rule curve. They call it base releases and then a rule curve, how full you're going to keep the reservoir at what time of year, and how does that change as their water system demands change through the year, because there's times when they need to stockpile, kind of like money in the bank,
mm-hmm.
They want to have it, so they can spend it. So their modeling is getting more sophisticated. And we need to be able to use that information and have better manage the lower surface. So that's one of the goals of the stream management plan, is to better use that and advocate for more base flow releases. And also maybe some increased void during hurricane season to better buffer if there were a large event. So there's not catastrophic flooding on the lower surface.
given that we have a tight time, I want to thank you, and thank you for your good questions. It's a little bit of an update. If we need more time, let's take
that. Could I just ask that we, early next year in the first energy and environment meeting, whoever's on it, and I'll, or can we take a note of it that it's at least on the agenda for the first meeting of the next one? But I would like to get, have it permanently on our agenda, a monthly update of everything coming, all the information flows through the executive branch, and I just ask that you tell us everything of note that month that you guys have found out and keep us up on it. And it'll be a 2 to 3 minute thing a lot, but just so we stay up.
That's a good idea.
That's a great suggestion.
Yeah. And I believe that event was recorded and included a video in case anybody. It was excellent.
And I'm very excited about the water access being one of the primary, one of their focuses. And there's a lot of stuff I'd like to speak to you about that.
And the county hosted that? Or was it a state host?
It was the county. And in addition, I certainly am looking forward to discussing things about Marble Town Park on Tonkawa Road as well. So, thanks.
Okay, let's see. Anything else, Department of Environment? On the Resource Recovery Agency, there's no one here. I did attend their last meeting. Two quick updates. They had a very good summary of research that Anna Rapola did on mattresses. And that ties in with the Reuse Innovation Center because I think a regional solution for mattresses is what's in order. Hopefully the reform committee will look at that. It was not a priority in the Reuse Innovation Center. As a matter of fact, they recommended that the area, or let me put it this way, the area they are recommending is zoned so that you couldn't have an industrial use, and taking mattresses apart for recycling might be considered industrial use. But anyway, the other thing is they are in the process of hiring a new attorney and seeking an executive director and moving slowly but surely toward a landfill feasibility.
Was there any update on the RRA appointing appointing a finance committee for themselves in regards to what they hadn't had previously, and that they're amongst their board of directors? I think it was something that they were talking about instituting some type of financial oversight committee.
I do not recall. But we can specifically ask.
Which is shocking to me that they never had that.
When I was on board, we had an audit committee. We had both internal and external audits, and there was an audit committee, and I served on that. We had to review the audits and interview the auditors. So I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to in terms of finance. Usually, finance means like where are we investing our money, how are we raising bonds. Are you talking about audit or finance?
It's in relation to this article that was published in the Freeman a few days ago. Try to pull it up.
I shouldn't.
Aaron, can we move on, and when you find it, get back to it?
Sure.
Environmental Management Council is not here, and I'm not sure if there is any update from them. Climate Smart Committee, we know that the budget amendment did not pass, but good questions were asked. I think that early in the year we will fill in those gaps. And I just want to say that I thank the people that wrote letters or came out to speak, and it appears that clusters are forming that want to go to their school board or school district and encourage them to let the legislature know that they would use and do need this service. And I think if we start hearing from, in this case, it appears to be a cluster in New Paltz and a cluster in the city of Kingston. And Eric, I was thinking we could do a roundout, just
absolutely
canvas and from our experience and canvas and see if they will use it. Then I think that would answer some of the questions that were raised. So it's an ongoing issue. Anything else on that?
Bill.
We do have a resolution that we have to consider.
Yes.
It's tangentially related. One of the folks who wrote us a letter of support for the amendment was a constituent of mine who's been working on some materials safety in the Kingston City School District, and I just wanted to bring that to the committee's attention. She's been going at every level of government, city, state, and wants the county to know about these concerns. I'm not sure what the county directly could do, but it's the sort of thing, like I said last night during the budget discussion, of if different types of levels of government can interact with each other, I think it would be a benefit.
Okay, so that's ongoing to be continued. The new business that's on here is no longer relevant, but there is an item of new business, and that is resolution number 676, establishing the Ulster County Fleet Management Review Committee, which we passed, and it is seeking a legislative member representing and chosen by Energy, Environment, and Sustainability. So my first question is there someone willing and a good fleet person would have been legislator Erner. He knows transportation well, but is anybody willing?
I take it. I mean, I'm sure John or Ken has my new, Ken I might think might do Kevin. Tracy chose Chris Hewitt. Something I've talked to Eric about serving on, but I'd like to get on there.
Okay.
So this would be a good way to do it.
Now, what happens in moving forward?
So we,
according
to the writing of this resolution, we need to make these appointments in December, and then it starts next term.
That person isn't on.
I believe we could choose someone that's not going to necessarily be a legislator because they're chosen now, and I think it reads like it did the Reform Commission.
It just says they have to be a legislator and chosen by us. They don't have to be a member of this committee.
It's a minority, majority, chair, environment, public works, laws and rules, ways and means. I don't know what these means. What are the other committees? DPW, Energy and Environment. What were the other two committees? Oh, Laws and Rules, because we're going to go over the policy first.
And probably law enforcement.
It might be law enforcement.
I don't think it was.
But I don't think so.
No?
Is it in there? Here we go.
Oh, she's gone.
Public Works and Capital Projects Committee. Yep. A legislative member representing and chosen by the Ways and Means.
Oh, it is Ways and Means.
Yeah. Yeah, Laws and Rules.
That makes sense. That's where
Government Services Committee.
Besides Public Works, Vehicle Purchases.
Majority Leader, Minority Leader, here, and Chair.
Do I hear a motion?
Is your point?
Yes.
I make that motion.
All right. Legislator Hansett has moved to appoint Legislator Maloney on our behalf or to represent us. And do I hear a second?
I second, yes.
All right. All in favor of appointing Legislator Maloney to the Fleet Management Review Committee? Anyone opposed? All right. Very good.
Congratulations. Thank you.
And let me go back here. Old business.
You're getting the primary or something. Right?
Chair Green?
No campaigning.
I pulled up that article.
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah, do that.
So that apparently the RRA board officially chartered an agency finance committee in compliance with their state with the state budget authority's office requirements that were apparently adopted 17 years ago.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if there was any if we had an update on who was who's going to be serving on this board. Well, I would hope that at the next energy and environment meeting, hopefully somebody from the RRA could come and give a presentation just about the decision and how that's going to be working moving forward and who's going to be on this committee.
Very good. And I believe that it was the interim executive director, Anna Rapolo, who made them aware of that, and they took care of that, possibly in the governance meeting.
I would just point out to the committee that I think we used to have that a few years ago, but more importantly, a finance committee is not the same as an audit committee. They both involve money, but finance is usually more about how do we get money, so where do we invest our bonds, and how do we float bonds, and that sort of thing is finance. Audit is seriously, is anybody looking at our operations? Is everything on the up and up? Have we accounted for everything, either holes in our operations? I would suggest that for a group like the RRA, which is not typically investing money or raising bonds and things like that, the audit committee is probably the much more crucial thing. But I thought we did have a finance committee back when I was on the board, and I'm surprised that they still don't, and they should, but it's probably less of a crisis because, again, it's not like they got to figure out how to go out and raise $30 million to build a factory like GM might have to do, for example.
All right. The Upcoming Reform Committee, in terms of old business, just met, and I'm sorry if I was a little put off, but I'm sure it'll come together.
Well, we have to make it come together, though, so and we might have to do a little more here to really, like we were saying before.
And I had intended to. My apologies.
Okay. The zero waste implementation plan, we've also asked them to come up with a way to complete that document. And then the status of local law number 12, that's sponsored by Legislator Erner and with lots of input from council. Where are we?
All right, yeah, thank you for asking, Chair Green, and I know we were supposed to talk about this last month, so my points I was going to make on November 2nd I will now make. So as a reminder, this was brought to this legislature by impacted constituents in one of the Hudson 7 towns of Esopus. It gained the endorsement of environmental organizations around the county and around the region, as well as individual advocates. In its original form, this was basically a citizen lawsuit law that would have said that the people of Ulster County have the right to sue if we are not doing what we need to do to protect the river, and any funds recovered would have gone specifically to restore any harms done. After consulting with legislative council, with legislators, with many of these supporters in the community, legislative council helped substantially rewrite it based on, turns out, his decades of environmental law experience, with the goal being to preserve the original intention and also make use of new powers and responsibilities of all levels of government in New York State, especially pursuant to the new Section 19 of the state constitution adopted in 2021, the so-called Green Amendment. We had a public hearing on the new version. All the speakers there urged that we needed such a law. And then it came back to this committee where you passed it unanimously on the first try in August, so thank you. And at the following Laws and Rules Committee, we postponed, given concerns that had not been worked out with the executive's office, and some legislators had started to express some concerns. Over the next couple of months, I finally got a meeting with the county executive in the second half of October, and heard her concerns. In September, meanwhile, the planning director, Doyle, had advise the planning board about the green amendment and their responsibilities to consider that in their planning decisions. After meeting with the county executive, I learned that she had requested an opinion from the county attorney's office as to this proposed law, and I have read that memo. Since then, I've also asked our legislative counsel who wrote the law to respond to that, which he has, and I don't believe that those memos have been shared with you, but I think...
Bill, he went out 2 hours ago.
Okay, so then now they have... Okay, because originally the county attorney's memo came back to me through Chair Bartels. She presented that to me. And so...
Tracy sent it out to the body 338.
Okay, and so here we are. You know, it will come back before laws and rules next week, and we have one member of that committee who's here right now, but they're, you know, it'll be up to them, it'll be up to the body, and I feel as though I've heard the county executive concerns, I don't know, I haven't spoken to her since she obtained the county attorney's opinion. I don't know if she's seen the Councilor Gordon's opinion either yet, or if that did that go out to?
I'm not sure. I'll check to see whether Tracy just sent it to. The administration does not seem to be. Oh, Clint got it.
Okay.
So he would have gotten it as a 338 this afternoon. So that,
can you in one or two sentences just what was the county attorney's concern?
If I may, the county attorney's concern was they were not. It was in a legal memo, but it was not really legal. He sort of dressed it up. But basically, what he's saying is the law didn't explain what we expected the administration to do, and to some extent, it was very, very similar to what we heard when we were discussing this with Deputy County Executive, and I think that's also what legislator heard from the County Executive. They were concerned that there was not enough guidance, and they were concerned that there was not necessarily the resources in the Department of the Environment to do it. I would just take a step back and say more broadly, it was what I did in the memo is I described the law in certain ways that were not apparent from reading the law itself. And I'll get to that in a second. But basically, they're reluctant to take this jump because they're not really sure where it goes. It's not 100% clear. And the reason why is because it really describes a new set of requirements that haven't really been asked of municipal officials, but are actually very, very, in my view, fairly understandable. Basically, what this law does is legislator Earn described the original draft, which was to essentially allow for citizen suits and require if the river gets dirty because of somebody, go ahead and sue them, which is in some ways nice, but it also ignores 50 years of environmental law with all kinds of specific standards and rules, thou shalt not, which are actually very helpful for people to keep the river clean before it goes really bad, because it's got to go really bad before you're going to win a lawsuit like that. And so what the redraft really does is it takes advantage of all these environmental laws that are out there but are not being fully implemented at the state and the federal level, or at least not being implemented up to the level that some of our constituents are now demanding of us in certain instances. And we're seeing here with Chippy and how that was being implemented, because that was actually approved by the Public Service Commission under Article 7. It's a linear energy facility that was approved 10 years ago. And also, of course, we heard that down in Westchester with the Holtec. You know, we're asking people are asking us to step up on environmental enforcement. And so what this redraft does is it tells the county executive, we're going to ask you to be an advocate for the river, so that if DEC is holding a hearing, or if the Public Service Commission is holding a hearing, if the EPA, and by a hearing, I mean very generally, if there's a comment period, or if there's a program they're running, and the river is not being fully protected, we expect you to go to either physically or metaphorically through a letter, go to that hearing, comment on it, and be an advocate for the river, with the idea that this doesn't establish a new regulatory program or regulatory jurisdiction, but it requires the type of advocacy that an agency will take notice of. If DEC is holding a permit hearing and they don't hear from anybody, they'll assume that the status quo is okay. If they hear from somebody, they'll double back. And if they hear from a public official, like a town supervisor, state senator, or county executive, they will really take notice. And it's something the county did, and it actually did a couple of years ago on the lower surface. We wrote a comment on that. Amanda was very deeply involved in that, and it had some effect. And it's also what we're doing on Hudson 7, albeit with a number of other municipalities. We're advocating for the protection of the drinking water coming out of the river. And so that's essentially what we're asking for, and it's not quite as complicated as the, in my view, with all respect to everybody, I don't believe it's as complicated as the administration and the county attorney represented, and that's what I explained in the memo. And so that question will be fairly before the legislators, both in laws and rules, and perhaps on the floor this month, as to whether or not this is a sort of a step that we want to ask this county to do, which would be a new type of a thing. But it's, I would ask the committee to consider whether this is a new day on the Hudson, and we want to ask some of our public officials to take the step of saying, yeah, we're going to adopt the protection of the river as a county. This really adopts county policy and asks the executive to implement it. And the county policy would be to protect the river. And we specify, if you recall, two very, very specific areas of concern in the river that we do ask the county executive to speak out on. One is the PCB remediation, which is before the US EPA, and they're asking to hear from people, and the groups on the Hudson are asking people to speak out. And the other is the physical remediation, which is very important upriver, but which, in my opinion, and we show the findings in the law, the estuary program is not implementing nearly as rapidly, really not at all, compared to downriver, where the by the city, there's a lot of like oyster bed remediation that's being implemented, but the shallows that were dredged out that are proposed for restoration is really not being implemented. And we're just asking for the county executive to step up and speak out on that. And there's a number of other details in it, but that's the basics. But
would it help?
In another one or two sentences, could you tell us?
I don't do one or two sentences. But you'll see the memo when you get home tonight.
Okay. That's the memo, but would it help to put some specifics beyond the two that you mentioned?
Well, we have two other specifics that are not specific programs, but more like attitudes or policies. One is what we call the precautionary principle, that you look before you leap, which is a big issue down in the Holtec thing, for example. And the other is what's called anti-degradation, which is a kind of an obscure policy that DEC is not implementing into the Clean Water Act that we have in there as well. But if I'm not sure if you want an amendment or something like that, but that's where we're at now, is two physical policies, two conceptual policies. And whatever else comes up, I mean, it's not restricted to that, but we're saying, use this county policy and obviously, you know, go and help us.
Yeah, it just sounds like what the county attorney and the executive branch are asking for is what they do, what we expect them to do, rather than everything that comes up or just the things that were outlined.
You'll see the county attorney memo as well. I think Tracy sent an exhibit to my memo, so you'll see them both, and you can make your decision.
What I don't want to see, given all the work and thought that's gone into this, I don't want to see when Phil leaves that this goes away.
That you risk.
Is there a way to prevent that? I mean, you have co-sponsors. I believe I'm a co-sponsor.
I'm not aware of co-sponsors. I mean,
I'll check it out right now.
Well, it doesn't.
Again, as we did with the other resolution,
yeah. Doesn't pass this month. It's going to have to be brought back.
We'll bring it back. Yep. Phil's a sponsor.
Yeah. We'll be happy to have you as a co-sponsor.
So it's on paper, but it's this month or not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to remind the committee that we have a hard break at 5:00.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get to that, but also I don't want this to get lost. So is there a way that basically it just needs to be reintroduced as is?
Yeah.
Bill, be optimistic.
Bill's not moving. You can come in and present
and speak to it.
Speak to
yeah.
it.
Or if it passes laws and rules, mm-hmm. or a discharge petition, it can get to the floor and then...
Because it's already passed here.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So it's all right. Laws and rules a week from today.
With that, I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn unless there is some burning other business. Okay, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And I think for motions to adjourn, you don't need a second. I'm not sure. I thought I just heard that recently. Second. Okay. All in favor of adjourning at 5 o'clock?
Aye.
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 Made it.
All right. Thank you.
Let's not.